Hello and welcome everyone to the Traction Stage podcast. Traction is what every founder in an early stage startup is looking for. It is the clear evidence that the market wants your product or service, and it's when things start getting bigger and better. I'm Alexandre Azevedo, and as your host, I'll interview startup entrepreneurs from all over the world to better understand which were the elements they've counted on and the challenges they faced before finding traction for their businesses. In today's episode, I'll interview Taha Bawa, co-founder of Goodwall. Hello, Taha. Thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
Very well. Thank you, Alex, for having me.
Great. Awesome. And first of all, of course, congratulations for Goodwall's success. And before we start talking about how did you develop or how did you generate traction for Goodwall, tell us a little bit about Goodwall's solution and what problem it solves today.
Yeah, thank you for that question. So Goodwall is really focused on helping the next generation navigate the future of earning and learning. So helping them maximize their potential while hopefully impacting society positively is our vision and our mission. So we're really helping young talent connect to the right opportunities at the right time. When they're in high school, we're connecting them to scholarships and colleges. When they're in college, we're connecting them to internships and first jobs. And now we're in the young professional space where we're helping them with their next step.
Okay, of course, we're not going to enter into each and every feature of Goodwall platform. But for those of you that who are interested in knowing more about Goodwall, you can go to goodwall.io. And I'm going to put the link for Goodwall's website as well as some TED Talks from Baha and Omar too, so you can check more about the company. And Taha, let's start by understanding, of course, I know that you and your brother have founded a company, and I would like to understand how did the idea come to your mind and how did you take the decision of building a business, building a startup based on this idea?
Yeah, so in our case, it really started with the vision. So Omar, my brother, he really was quite motivated and quite, very motivated to build something around helping people maximize their potential and importantly impact society positively. Goodwall started off as an edtech concept. It's really around experiential learning and it's around changing behavior to maximize people's impact and to maximize their own potential. So that's where we started off. From this very lofty vision, we thought that this would be the most impactful thing we could do at this stage in our careers. And it seemed natural to leverage technology to achieve scale. So we said, okay, it makes sense for it to be a technology solution. And we took it a step further. We realized that in order to achieve scale, we needed to make sure that it drove value to both users and that it was financially viable. In order to attract the best people to work with us, in order to be able to be sustainable, in order to be able to not just have to keep looking for money. So to do that, we really positioned ourselves as a social enterprise that was for profit and focused on employing the best business practices, focused on competing to drive the most value to our users and to drive the most value to our clients. So that's really how we came towards this sort of company structure. And in terms of the actual product, we realized that what was going to drive through talking, through doing research, through realizing from our own situation, as we were both recently out of college, and we realized that helping people navigate through this journey, through their career journey, which starts as early as in high school and then in college and then in the young professional space, was incredibly valuable. And so that's how we focused in on our idea.
Right. And from that idea, how did you exactly start doing things? Because it is very exciting to have an idea, and we tend to think about the platform when it is already working with a lot of users, but you had to take some first steps in the platform development. And I would like to understand what exactly was the MVP like and what were that first steps?
Yeah, so we really went step by step. We started off with nothing more than a profile to begin with, actually. And this was a place where it was really the first place where people in high school could show off their extracurricular and academic achievements. So really their first resume, if we were to do an analogy. It was leveraging photos, it was leveraging other forms of content to showcase who one was. But that's what we started off with. And once we saw traction, we grew the product beyond that. We added social networking features because part of our vision has always been, we really didn't want this to be a transactional utility application. We wanted, and not for various reasons, we wanted this to be a journey. We wanted to be able to accompany people on their journey as they navigate the future of earning and learning, as people are changing opportunities, changing jobs, finding out what they want to do. We realized that it's not just a one-time thing. And we really wanted to make sure that our application and our product was able to fulfill the needs of this current demographic and of the times in which we live. To do that, we built social networking features, we built content features, we allowed people to connect to each other, to connect to mentors, and then we added the ability to connect to appropriate opportunities, whether that be scholarships, colleges, or jobs. So we really went step by step to achieve this. We tested, we metricated, we saw what worked, we saw what didn't work. We have cut out a lot of features, we've added a lot of features. But through it all, I think from a mindset perspective, we've been very, very adaptable to features, to value propositions, to messaging. And we've just tried to listen as much as we can to our users and to our clients.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And so you started by or with a profile feature and not an or non-social networks and anything like that. But did you already see the traction or see people coming just with the profile information or feature? Or did you have to add something more or maybe do some kind of speech or to convince them? Basically, my question relates to a little bit about the chicken egg dilemma too. Yeah. So you today you have a big platform, you have wonderful features for companies, for colleges, for students, but it is very good to see that idea when everything is working together. But when you have no user at all, things become a little bit more difficult than that. So I would love to hear what is your experience on overcoming that kind of hurdle.
Yeah, so in terms of that, we tried to drive content early on. We tried to allow users to connect to opportunities early on that we were able to get access to. And that drove a reason to have a good wall. We also explained what a good wall could be used for. It could be used for their applications. It could be used for being able to store even their information, as they had nowhere else to store it to begin with, even privately for themselves. And then as we built up the base, we onboarded colleges, we onboarded scholarships as well for our users. We onboarded opportunities for our users that made it even more worthwhile to have a good wall profile. And then we took it from there.
So when you start talking with companies and with colleges and universities, you already had a good base of users in the platform. Yeah. Which was the sequence, or what was the sequence you had? If you could share the numbers, I mean, if you remember about the numbers of users you had when you started talking with companies, or maybe you first talked with universities, how was this part?
Yeah, so we already had a sizable database in the hundreds of thousands of users, and we had basically from the get-go, we had talked to universities to understand what they were looking for. So the two were happening simultaneously. And then when it came to companies, we already had a significant database already that they could tap into and they could connect to and they could engage with while driving value to our users. So yeah.
Okay, so you started first, of course, providing value to the users, generating this first part of the equation, the traction for them, and then you went to the universities and companies. That's awesome. That's good to understand
it really,
how.
Yeah, it, it really happens simultaneously. I mean, very, very close to each other, right? Because as you mentioned, the two need to happen at the same time. It's an execution thing with any marketplace when it comes to that particular value proposition. And yes, we found other reasons for users to be there in the initial days. And going forward now, for example, the two are on the platform and connecting to each other continuously.
And what were the marketing strategies that you developed from the beginning for getting those users and for getting companies too, but in colleges? But what were the strategies that really worked for you in order to generate the traction that you would like?
Yeah, there are various methods that we adopted to get the traction. I think a lot of what we did in the early days probably wouldn't work anymore. You know, there are various growth opportunities that exist that don't exist anymore. It's about ultimately conveying the message using the various distribution channels, whether it be, and then encouraging people to share it amongst themselves. So that's what led us to our initial traction. We used a lot of content, and we had people talk about it.
Great, excellent. And I'm curious, we have a lot of theories and frameworks and concepts about startup development in these early stages. And I would like to know, during that pre-traction period, were there or was there any framework, any methodology or things that help you the most on organizing things, on getting things directed for achieving the traction, maybe the processes? What were the frameworks and methodologies you use in that time or keep using until now?
Yeah, I think we really focus on trying to be adaptable and lean in terms of testing ideas and testing concepts. That's very much at the heart of how we approach things. So we've got a very, an agile methodology. We're constantly changing things. We're constantly trying out different things within every aspect of the company, whether it be in sales or marketing or product, actually. And so we've really tried to keep that mindset. Apart from that, and within that mindset, constantly looking at what's working, constantly looking at what can be improved, and then looping in that feedback from the relevant stakeholders, whether they be internal or clients or users, and qualitative data and quantitative data, and adapt to that and iterate on that.
Okay, and from the people that that were you from the very beginning, who were they, or how did the Goodwill changed during that time? So it was you and your brother in the beginning, but did you count with more people to help you on getting traction?
Yeah, definitely. In the early days, we worked with friends. We worked with various people who were essentially willing to give us their time because they believed in the vision, they believed in the mission. And some of them were full-time, some of them were part-time. We were just trying to get help where we could get. And as we grew, the organization has changed. If you're asking from that perspective, to people who fit and who fit the new stage that we're in. And I think companies like Goodwill, well, they keep evolving and different people are interested in different parts of the company or different stages in the company. So yeah.
And how many people you have with you today? How many employees or people that are part of Goodwill today?
Yeah, we're approximately 60 now.
Okay. One thing that is very important in entrepreneurs or first time founders ask a lot relates to the funds strategy or the funding strategy and fundraising. And I'm really curious about what were the strategies or the needs regarding funds that you had to put in place during this development or this early stage development of Goodwill.
Yeah, so we really focused on proving that what we had made sense to both our users and to clients. And from there, we were able to raise funds from qualified and interesting investors at each stage for us that brought value to us, not just financial, but actually in terms of either advice or connections or industry insights or knowledge.
Yeah, I know that from the very beginning, or from your TED talk, that you had some difficulties on proving that idea, which is, of course, the difficulty that entrepreneurs have with showing to the world or proving to the world that their idea are worth. And I think you have run through this kind of hurdle in the beginning too. Tell me a little bit about that, and how did you overcome that lack of understanding about people or from people about the product?
Yeah, I think looking back now, I think that's very, very normal. And I think that's to be expected. And I think that's fair. You know, I think especially if you're coming up with something new and different that isn't just a Me Too, I think it's totally normal for qualified investors or anyone really, users, clients, to be skeptical. And you have to, it's your job to prove to them that you're the real deal and that this idea actually isn't crazy. And so I think when we look back at our early days, you know, I definitely thought that people should just accept that this is a great idea because I thought it was a great idea. But ultimately, that's just not how things work. And I think, you know, if someone were to pitch me their idea today that hasn't been proven out, you know, I think it's within my right to be skeptical. So actually, I think I probably was a little unrealistic. And I think most people are sometimes a little unrealistic and a little biased when it comes to their own idea. The only thing I must say about that is I think we learned really, really quickly, like probably within a day of me, like within a few weeks at most, that actually the only way we were going to make it was by working really hard on proving that it works. And I think ultimately that's all that matters. Even for ourselves, ultimately we're the biggest investors in our company. You know, this is our life. This is, we're putting everything into it. So ultimately, even from our own perspective, just leaving it to being like, oh, it's a great idea. You know, we have some traction is just not enough. We need to de-risk this as much as possible. We need to prove that this is what we really need to be dedicating our life to, not just from a vision and mission perspective, but actually from an execution perspective.
I totally agree with you about that. And that's the purpose of the Traction Stage too, which is to help entrepreneurs to raise the value of their companies. And the value we can understand here about the value that others put in the companies, and which is very similar to what fundraising is about. And first of all, nobody believes, or a few people believe in your idea, but they are not willing to put or to risk their money. So with hard work, with good execution, with being or adapting things, you are able, or you should believe you are able to raise the reputation or the value of your company by doing those things. So I believe that probably not convincing everyone might be a good sign that the idea is really innovative, don't you think so? Because if everybody agrees that yes, that's a great idea, maybe this is something that has already been thought about.
You know, there are various opinions on that. I'm not sure how I feel. I think I think it's totally normal for ideas to be, you know, ideas are ideas, opinions are opinions. You know, when someone says, you know, it's what I say when people ask me for my opinion on their ideas today, I say, you know, ultimately it's a, you know, what am I basing my decision to say it's a good or bad idea on? First of all, you know, what data do I have to say this is a good idea or this is a bad idea? You know, normally it's a few minutes conversation, maybe it's a few hours conversation, maybe they've done a few hours of research, maybe they've done a lot of research. There's so many different variables that going into making one's opinion on whether or not it's a good idea or not. And then, you know, even if it is a really good idea, as you said earlier, it really doesn't matter actually, because it comes down to execution. You can have the best idea possible, but if someone out executes you, or if you just don't execute very well yourself, what is, you know, doesn't matter. There are quite a few ride sharing companies out there, but how many of them are still around? You know, that was a good idea, but it comes down to execution as well. So I think what I say today when people ask me for my opinion is ultimately it's your responsibility, and as such, within the context of this question, it was my responsibility to find out as much as I can about whether or not this idea was a good one and execute to deliver on that. And that comes to, yes, talking to as many people as possible, talking to clients, talking to users, talking to people with more experience than us, and taking it from there.
That's the kind of research that you did, because you mentioned research in the beginning of this interview, and you're mentioning about the research as something that is important to support your decision and support, of course, your arguments about how the idea is really good and great. This is the kind of research that you're mentioning about. Do you believe in market research and things like that? What is your opinion?
Yeah, I think any data that you can have to support certain hypotheses is good. I think from our side, we try not to over-research certain things. We try and put things out there and see what our real end user or end customer thinks about it. But we definitely do research before that. Excuse me. And we definitely look at what's out there, what's working, what's not working. We definitely do that, for sure.
So you have to balance some amount of time and effort to put on the research side, and of course, not being there forever, trying to execute things, and maybe doing iterative process by researching again and executing things.
That's awesome.
And finally, I would like to ask you, it is a question that I do with all our guests here on the Traction Stage podcast, and it relates to a piece of advice or some words considering those entrepreneurs that are first-time founders or trying to develop their startups, and maybe they are doing similar things or working with similar business models as yours. Not necessarily related to education, but maybe they are doing a multi-sided platform, or they are doing the education side, but not exactly with a multi-sided platform. So for those people that are starting their ventures, what would you say to them?
I would say find out as much as you can about your users and your customers and what they would want, what's important to them. Talk to as many of them as possible. And then, you know, focus on a niche, focus on a specific segment, and then go from there. Start small and continue to execute and go from there.
Okay, Taha. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for sharing your experience and your knowledge about developing a startup. And congratulations again for Goodwell success. And I wish you and Omar all the best. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alex. Thanks for your time.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
And how about you? Did you like this episode? Please visit us at thetractionstage.com and leave your comment. There you will find all the episode's show notes, as well as additional information about the founders and their startups. I'll wait for you there. Bye-bye.